No, that isn't the time. That isn't your responsibility to do. There were given two things that were said in the Old Covenant with regard to when that permanent place would be given. Number one was that it was to be a time in which they were settled in the land, and that already was so. And the other was it would be a time of peace to the borders of the kingdom that were given of God. And that was just being accomplished by David in that time. But God's point to them back in Exodus and Deuteronomy was after that took place, then there would be other things that would happen. David was doing that for the first generation since the time of Joshua to deliver the borders back to the full extent where they were at the river Euphrates. And as he did that, those things being secured, it was not his place to build the temple at that time. It was going to come later. But David's desire to do that was one in which it was an honor to God, but God still told him no. David might not have understood why that was. But the fact is that when he asked, God did answer. He answered him no. Yes is not the only answer that could be given, just like we know with our children. They might ask for something, we realize it's not what is best for them, or maybe it's not what is best in some other reasons, and we say to them, no. But that's an answer, just like yes is. When you look a little further with regard to the child that was born as a result of the sin with David and Bathsheba, you understand back in 2 Samuel, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, that there is a request that is given by David with regard to the life of this child. Let's start there with verse 13. It says, so David said to Nathan, I have sinned. This is after David reveals him, or after Nathan reveals him as the one who was an example of the very story that he would give him, the heartlessness of his sin. Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin, and you shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. And David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they say, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm to us. And when David saw his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. This way in which David asked for the life of the child, and that was not granted, tells us another case of when God said no, but it also tells us a little something about how we ought to react when God says no. David desired the life of the child, but God had pointed out, this is what's going to happen to that child as a result of your sin. It was a reminder, not only to David, but to all of Israel as well, the consequences of sin. That those consequences would be borne beyond just the person themselves.
While another person does not inherit the guilt of my sin or your sin, many times they do suffer the consequences of our sin. A father who acts as he should not and becomes one who's unfaithful and shows an example of adultery and a lack of compassion toward his family is going to reap the consequence of that with regard to the guilt of his sin, but I'll guarantee you something. His wife's going to suffer. His children are going to suffer because of that. That's a consequence of sin. And now here it is that a consequence of sin has been laid out before all of Israel. And despite David praying that that child may be one who is alive, the child dies. But what does he do when God answers no to his prayer? David doesn't use that as a way of saying, well, now why did you do that, God? That child wasn't guilty. That child is not to blame for my sin. Not what he did. When he found out that the child would die, prayed, fasted all the time up until the point that the child died. But after God answered no and he saw that, he picked himself up and he went and did what was his responsibility to do. The first thing that happens is he changes and goes into the house of the Lord and worships, the text says. He did not blame God. He recognized the need to turn to God, that God had that right to say no to his request, and that he honored God despite the fact that God had said that no, recognizing that he was the one who had the rightful place as Lord. Over in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, there's another case in point. Paul and Silas asked that they might go and preach in Asia and in Bithynia. And now what happens when they make that request? Well, go with me over to Acts chapter 16.